flickering dirty neon over alleys mean and dirty streets, while my neighborhood is torn down around me. Too many people on
this is the familiar song of the Lifeboat Hour, and thank you so much for tuning in. Had a little confusion about our songs here, but I want to thank you for tuning in tonight to the Lifeboat Hour. This is going to be a tribute to our friend, mentor, luminary, and courageous warrior, Michael C. Rupert. This is a show I never thought I'd be doing, and it breaks my heart, as I know it does yours, to be here on this occasion. Tonight we're going to take some time to honor and eulogize the life and memory of Mike. We will hear a song dedicated to him. We will have a few words from one of Mike's dearest friends, former six-term Congress member Cynthia McKinney, and then we'll take a few calls. Some of you have asked me if this show will continue, and the answer is that it will continue because it must continue. Many times Mike and I talked about the possibility that he might want to turn this show over to me and how he would do that. Those conversations, of course, did not include the topic of his taking his own life, which is what he did immediately after last Sunday night's Lifeboat Hour. Mike left specific written instructions for me to take over the show, and that is what I'm going to do. Monday morning, when I turned on my computer and checked my email, I found an email from Mike which contained only a prayer. There were no comments, just the prayer. This prayer was also sent to Mimi Gurman, who was on last week's Lifeboat Hour with me, Mike's last show. And in a moment, I'm going to read that prayer. But first, I want to share the high points of Mike's biography for those who may not know them or may have forgotten them. And the autobiographical information that I'm reading is pretty much Mike's own words. He was born February 3rd, 1951 in Washington, D.C. He was born to parents who worked for the U.S. government, his mom for the State Department under then Secretary of State Cordell Hull. His father worked for Martin Marietta, and both parents had very high security clearances. Mike had no siblings, and his parents moved to Southern California during Mike's middle school years. There, he graduated from Venice High School and entered UCLA and graduated with honors in political science in 1973. He interned for the Los Angeles Chief of Police and was groomed by officers with connections to the CIA. Mike entered the LAPD Police Academy and graduated from the academy as valedictorian. He was assigned to South Central, LA, where he earned near-perfect evaluations and many commendations for investigation, bravery, and attention to duty. Mike resigned from the LAPD in late 1978 after receiving death threats for refusing to participate in operations involving CIA drug smuggling into the U.S. As a whistleblower, Mike spent years in his own wilderness before revelations and government documents confirmed his allegations. Meanwhile, he began the amazing, incredible, illuminating newsletter, which many of us remember, From the Wilderness. He came into the public spotlight after a 1996 confrontation with then CIA Director John Deutsch. Many credited Mike's fearless performance on live TV with costing Deutsch what was considered to be a guaranteed appointment as Secretary of Defense. In May of 2006, after being contacted by Mary Tillman, mother of pro football star turned Army Ranger Pat Tillman, Mike and his military affairs editor Stan Goff, U.S. Army Special Forces retired, spent days and weeks analyzing and decoding 2,000 pages of Army records. The Associated Press, the Washington Post, and the L.A. Times, among others, broke the Tillman case open in August and September of 2006, but these stories were virtual cut and paste of From the Wilderness's original copyrighted series from June of 2006. Every congressional handout which forced eventual hearings on the Tillman issue was from the wilderness. Nine officers, including three generals, were disciplined and the sudden resignation of Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld was a result of the FTW series. In 2009, Mike was the sole character in the movie Collapse, which I know thousands of people viewed and which I know for a fact opened the eyes of countless numbers of individuals, many of whom are listening to the show right now. In 2010, Mike founded Collapse Network, intended to concentrate essential news stories and facilitate relocalization. Relocalization, he said, is the only hope we have to build lifeboats that can save as many lives as possible as human industrial civilization comes to an end, and as a new and uncertain era with unforeseen challenges leaves us asking not what kind of world we can save, but what will be left to pass on to future generations. In the spring of 2012, after multiple points of no return were crossed, including climatological, environmental, social, economic, and military, Mike fired himself from the CollapseNet, giving the company to the staff who would work to build it. He realized that in the official and accepted world, none of these problems would ever be solved using the tools, approaches, and concepts that the world accepts. In August of 2012, Mike relocated from Sonoma County, California, to the remote San Luis Valley at 8,000 feet in the Colorado Rockies to pursue spiritual awareness and solutions while keeping a close eye on the increasingly irrational behavior of human beings, and on the climate, the unweaving of industrial civilization, the extinction of 200 species a day as theme music for the birth of a new age of human existence. Now, in February of this year, Mike moved back to Northern California, where he continued to pursue his spiritual path and host the Lifeboat Hour. For reasons about which we can only speculate, Mike took his life 1 week ago tonight in Calistoga, California, where he had been living. I want to add one more thing. Mike Rupert was not assassinated, drugged, mind-controlled, nor was he on medication, nor was he the target of long-range white noise, radio waves, or anything of that sort. His suicide was well-planned, methodical, and completely intentional. Those of us who knew him well recall many times in the past decade when he spoke of taking his own life. That said, I want to read the prayer I received in an email on Monday morning, which, of course, he sent on Sunday night before he died. Here is that prayer. I pray to Mother Earth and Father Sky. I pray to the four winds and ask them to carry my prayer and the sounds of my heart to all things and all places. I pray to the two-leggeds, the four-leggeds, the things that crawl, the things that fly, the things that swim. I pray to all things that grow in Mother Earth. I pray to the stone people. I pray to the little people. I offer tobacco. I offer my flesh. I offer my life. I pray to all things seen and unseen, known and unknown, for we are all one. This is my final offering. I do it for the children so that they might live. There is no more time. May my offering release love and light into this darkness. Light a fire for me. Pray for me. The sun will rise. The sun will rise. As I said, this was also sent to Mimi Gurman, who was on the show with us last week. Mike always wanted to have at least one or two songs for this program, and every time I hosted it, he wanted me to pick a song or songs. So tonight I've picked one song, and it is a Native American song, which I want to offer as a tribute to Mike in the tradition that was so dear to his heart and to his life. The song is Dance of the North, sung by Joanne Shenandoah, who is a member of the Wolf Clan of the Oneida Nation. Joanne has one of the most beautiful voices I've ever heard, and she's a Grammy Award winner with an honorary doctorate from Syracuse University. In Native American tradition, the North is the place of wisdom, the place of the elders, the place of buffalo medicine and the cold winds of the North. Part of the journey of life is to weather the medicine of the North, and when we come to the end of our lives, it is believed that we come to rest in the place of the North, the place of endings and also new beginnings. I ask you to please, please not think about what these words mean. This is a sacred chant, and chants are not meant to be analyzed, but felt. Please allow the words, and more importantly, this gorgeous melody, to wash over you and through you. Please let your grief be here, because Mike would have wanted you to feel your grief in every cell of your body, and I know that many of you have this week. So let's reverently listen to Joanne Shenandoah's Dance of the North. For you, Mike.
Yahweh. Oh,
Aho mitakwiasi, all my relations. I have nothing more to say in this moment, but I want us to hear from someone who might consider a dear friend, and she has something to say. Former Congress member, six-term Congress member from Georgia, Cynthia McKinney. Welcome to the show, Cynthia.
Hi. I have just been sitting here so totally consumed in my schoolwork, and I'm trying to write a dissertation and graduate in the next couple of months. And when my little buzzer went off saying, oh, you've got the interview with Carolyn about Mike Rupert, I went to my computer where I live and pulled up the last email exchange that we had, and I was reminding him that I needed to send him a book because he wrote the foreword to my book, Ain't Nothing Like Freedom, where I talked about my experiences in Georgia representing the folk in Washington, D.C. And Mike would walk those halls. He would walk the halls of the Capitol with me. And we had so much fun. We loved each other. We absolutely, you know, it was like, I don't know if it was because he was a cop and my dad was a cop, and, you know, so there was kind of this understanding. We were irreverent with each other, always making politically incorrect jokes with each other. It was like a complete and total freedom, I guess. Ain't nothing like freedom. And so, you know, when I found out through an email that, and I couldn't believe it. I thought that the person who sent me the email was just kidding. So I picked up the phone and I called him. And I said, what are you doing sending such an email to me? And he said, am I the one who's telling you? And I gathered that it was not a joke, that this was real. And I hung up the phone and I, you know, shed my tears. Mike Rupert was my friend. And in the political world, you don't use that word lightly, because you have a lot of people who come in your face and they smile when the times are good, and you can't find them when the times are bad. But you see, Mike had been castigated and beaten up by the press so much that when it happened to me, he understood, and he reached out, and he was there. He was there on Capitol Hill with me. He didn't just call. He came. So this is a man that I truly loved, and I am so saddened. I know that I'm not alone, because there's a whole world of people out there who loved Mike. And I know he knew, but I wonder. I just hope that he realized how truly loved he is, and not just by those nameless folk, but by all of the people whose lives he touched. And if I can say one more thing,
sure.
I'd like to say that Mike Rupert gave his all for black people in the United States who had been wronged. There was no such thing as crack cocaine until the United States government decided that it wanted to finance It's off the book CIA operations on the pain and suffering and backs of black people in the United States by creating something called crack cocaine. And Mike Rupert was the one who courageously stepped forward. He could have remained silent. He could have let black America suffer. But he didn't. He couldn't. This is the kind of man we're talking about who, you know, it was an injustice. It wasn't his community, but his community was the entire community. And so it was his community. And he didn't remain silent. So this is a hero of huge proportions and loved. And the people in Los Angeles especially, they know and love Mike Rupert for what he did, for telling the truth to them.
Thank you so much, Cynthia. Thank you so much. We really
thank you, Carolyn, for doing this.
Yeah, we really appreciate hearing from you.
Thank you.
So in a moment, we're going to begin to take callers, and I am well aware that there's no way that everyone who calls in tonight is going to get heard. That's why we have arranged for a special webcast so that hopefully everyone can get heard. I'm talking about a special online celebration of Mike's life that's going to happen on Thursday night, May 8th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. This webcast is a generous offering by Jennifer Palmer and Chris Kaplan of SyncCast, that's spelled S-Y-N-C-H-C-A-S-T. You must register for the event. However, here's how to do that. You can go to my website at carolynbaker.net or to the many postings about this event that you will see on Facebook where there's a link for registration, or you can go directly to www.syncast.net. SYNCHCAST.net, SyncCast.net, and you can register for this event that you must register for in order to participate. May 8th, Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I believe that tonight's audience is already the largest audience the show has ever had, and I'm very sorry that it had to be for this occasion. But I'm thrilled at the outpouring of love that all of you are demonstrating. The number to call in is 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. And one caveat here with respect to calling in. I will not take any calls that contain questions about Mike's death. If you want to read in-depth coverage of his death and all of the circumstances before, during, and after, you need to go to the blog of Sherry Roberts, and that is Sherry Speak, that's spelled C-H-E-R-I-S-P-E-A-K .wordpress.com, sherryspeak.wordpress.com. What I most want to hear about tonight is how Mike influenced you and the legacy that you see him leaving us. So if you want to comment on this, call us at 888-874-4888, and we will take callers. I know that I've been able to speak with many of you on the phone, many of you by email, by Facebook page, who have expressed your deep, deep sense of loss. And, you know, I knew Mike for 14 years. He and I met in the year 2000. I remember it was during the Bush selection, the first Bush election, and I was living in the Southwest, and I certainly knew that there was something wrong with the picture of that election, and I recall doing some research online about CIA and drugs. I can't even remember why I was researching, but I was doing that. I was playing around on the Internet, and I found the number of Celerino Castillo, who lived in Texas where I was living, and who was a former DEA agent who had been forced out because he had been a whistleblower. And one of the things Celi Castillo told me is you must contact Mike Rupert. Well, I'd never heard of this guy, but he gave me the link to From the Wilderness, and I began to read From the Wilderness, and at some point I got a hold of the phone number for Mike, and I was planning a trip over Christmas break to Southern California. And so I sent him an email, and I said, I'd like to take you to lunch. Can we do that? And it was the day after, it was on a Friday that we went to lunch, and it was the day after he had done a lecture for a political science class at USC. And the name of that lecture was called Wall Street's War for Drug Money, and it was a very well-documented presentation on how drug money gets laundered through Wall Street. And I think you can see parts of that on YouTube. Anyway, he gave me a fresh copy of that that he had just, someone had just made for him, and we struck up this friendship, and he and I began to communicate, and I became a subscriber of From the Wilderness, which I still think is one of the finest newsletters ever published. I believe that you can Google From the Wilderness, and you will find that newsletter. It's still a site that you can go back and look at. We have some callers. We have Stephanie on the line. Hello, Stephanie. Where are you from?
My name is Stephanie, and I'm from Lansing, Michigan.
Hi, Stephanie. What's your comment or question tonight?
I didn't really have any questions. I did want to say that Mike has impacted my life in such a positive mannerism. I learned about him through my boyfriend, and just having Mike as a friend on Facebook and reading his posts and sharing spirituality with him really made my life quite fruitful. And I'll have to say that hearing about what happened to him did have quite a direct effect on me, but I chose to do my grieving and learn from the situation, and I've really been able to connect with a lot of people and share some of their same feelings, and it just feels like that there's such a great need for people to live in love and to act in love and to be of service in love, and that's what I'm trying to do in my life and what I'm trying to do in my community and also to pay forward. And he just impacted me in such a way that he has been such a wonderful thing, and I just hope that other people feel the same way I do, or at least can share some of what I'm feeling.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And, you know, grieving really does bring us together. It really does help facilitate community. So thank you for calling, Stephanie.
Thank you, Carolyn.
You're welcome. We have Charles next, I believe.
Hi, Carolyn. It's actually Charlton, and I spoke with you, Sherry, and Anita on the show
yes.
a couple days back. And I just wanted to offer up a Lakota song in Mike's memory.
Okay.
Very briefly, this song says, Grandfather, give us strength. Grandfather, on this day, give us strength. Don't cry. שבילה אומפתוחילה ושג מהיילו היי. I want to remind everyone to not get caught up in how Mike died, and to remember to carry on with the message that he left us, this prayer of for the children. Thank you for everything that you're doing, Carolyn.
Thank you, Charlton, for that beautiful song.
Oh.
Okay, I believe we have Peter next.
Hi.
Hi, Peter. Where are you from?
I'm from Madison, Wisconsin.
Welcome to the Lifeboat Hour. What is your comment?
Well, my comment is a number of years ago, I rented the Collapse movie and watched Mike, and I had never heard of him before. You know, I never believed the government story about 9/11 or any of that. He pointed out so many things to me about that and about peak oil in general. It was really apparent to me that this guy really had a lot of love in him, and it really came through to me. And so I bought his books and I read his books, and unfortunately I never had the chance to have any contact with him directly. I guess I'm remiss for that, and I wish I had, because I really, really wanted to at some point be able to connect with him. And I'm sad that he's gone.
Well, thank you so much. I know that you're sharing the sentiments of literally thousands of people, and I really appreciate your calling in. Anyone who wants to call in can call us at 888-874-4888. We would love to hear your comments, your tributes, your gratitudes for Mike. I believe
thank
we have...
Thank you. Mike did what he did for love.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks, Peter. And then we have Richie.
Hello?
Hi, Richie. Where are you from?
I'm from Viroqua, Wisconsin.
We got Wisconsin well represented tonight.
Yeah. I just want to say, I first rented Collapse. I was in Blockbuster, and I saw that the guys who had done Yes Men, which I thought was a hilarious movie, and I just picked it up because of that, and when I put it in, it completely changed my life. I'm sorry, I'm very emotional about this.
I hear you.
I never knew these things till I watched that movie. I mean, it really pulled me out of the, the Democrat-Republican echo chamber.
Right.
And it pulled me out into, like, the real world. And if anybody's listening out there, if you ever get a chance, listen to Mike on the Joe Rogan Experience. He was awesome. He's on there for two shows. And then, of course, opened me up to the Joe Rogan Experience, which is a great podcast if you ever get a chance to download it. I listened to that, and I'm really going to miss him. I mean, it's like every Sunday, I really look forward to hearing what he had to say. And, you know, it's just, it's strange. It's just like there's just a piece missing now. You know, I never missed his podcast. I listened to it for like 3 years. And if I never get a chance to hear it, I would download it and listen to it at work. It's like I was able to participate in his journey, and it was very similar to my own.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, I've had a hard week. I've had finals in school, and it hasn't been easy dealing with this, because it's like I don't want to say it's a hopeless thing, or, you know, I don't think suicide is like a failure of life or anything like that. It's just, you know, it sucks, man. It's just like someone you like and you listen to and you enjoy what he has to say, and you know, he was like a source of information that I could trust.
Right.
After I watched Collapse, man, I watched it a lot, and then I knew he had a podcast. I'm like, oh my God, I gotta listen to this. Because there's so much information out there that's toxic. It's sort of like weaponized psychology, you know what I mean? Weaponized mass psychology. And, you know, it just, dude, it just really bums me out. I'm just really having a hard time with this.
I really
enjoy what you had to say. I really, you know, any time you're on the show, you seem to be kind of happy and level-headed. When other times you would get curmudgeon-y or, I don't want to talk negative about it, but I could tell sometimes on the show, like, life was, you know, getting him down as it gets us all down from time to time. It's just been a real loss.
Yes, it is a real loss, and I thank you so much for calling, Richie. You're really expressing the grief that so many of us are experiencing. Thank you for calling.
All right, thanks. Thanks a lot. And, you know, please keep the show going, and I hope his webpage on Facebook keeps going somehow. I don't know if you can do that, but, you know, I want his memory to live on. It just really bums me out.
Thank you so much for calling in. We have Yusef next.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi.
First of all, I just want to apologize for my heavy French accent. I just want to say that I've known Mike only for 2 months. Only 2 months. I always listen to Gary Noel's show on Sundays, and then I hang up my phone. And one day I just hang up on the phone, and I hear Mike, and I was... for my entire life, I only cry for a loss only one time. When my grandmother passed away in 89. But when I just finished listening to Gary and I hear you talk about Mike, I was shocked. And I have a question, though, for Mike. And I hope all the listeners won't hate me for the question I have to ask Mike. I say, Mike, why? You started something, you have a purpose for people. Who is going to carry this out? I'm so sorry. I'm so emotional. I never cried in my life. I mean, so this is the second time I'm crying for a human being.
Good for you, Yusef.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, okay?
No apologies. No apologies. We should all be weeping and wailing. This
it's
is
too much. You know, I just fell in love with Mike, whatever he says, every Sunday. And it's in my mind. When I go home, I talk to my wife. We discuss about it. I'm a Muslim, born and raised Muslim, but anytime I listen to Mike, I see him like a spiritual leader. So sorry, gotta go. Sorry.
Okay, thank you so much for calling in. We hope that you'll be on the online celebration of life because you'll have more opportunity there to express what you'd like to express. I believe you're welcome. I believe we have Jay on the line, or Barbara's next. Barbara's next.
Hi, Carolyn. Can you hear me?
Not very well.
Can you hear me now?
It's a little better. Can you shout?
Oh, okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, this is Barbara Honegger calling. And thank you so much for alerting me to this program. And it was wonderful to hear Mike and my mutual friend Cynthia McKinney's voice. I haven't talked to Cynthia for a very long time since we shared space together at one of the 9/11 conferences in New York City, so it was wonderful. Cynthia, I hope you're listening, and I love you. It's a very hard time. I wanted to share very briefly an experience that I had with Mike that everyone will want to know, and that is when he was working on his book, his famous book, Crossing the Rubicon, which is a gift to all of us, Mike called me up at about 7:30 in the morning one day, and believe me, I'm not a morning person. And he was weeping. He was crying. And I knew him already, of course, because we're leaders in the 9/11 Truth Movement, researchers and writers and speakers, public speakers. He called me up, and he was weeping. And I said, who is this? He said, it's Mike Rupert, through his tears. And he said, Barbara, I realized after excoriating you in public for your work on the war games, on hijack scenarios on 9/11, I realized that it's actually the missing link that I need to finish my book, Crossing the Rubicon, and I need your help. I need your help desperately because I promised my father, who is dying of a terminal disease, that I would finish my book and it would be published and it would be a gift to him before he died. And I can't do it without the war games. So Mike and I worked together for a good period of time, and those two chapters, 19 and 20, in Crossing the Rubicon, which he calls the Holy Grail of his our work on 9/11. So the reason I'm mentioning this is because I learned through that experience that Mike had these two sides that another caller has called about, but his good side always won out. It was hard being with him sometimes because he had a kind of a mean side, but it wasn't the real Mike. And his good side won out, and I experienced that in an extremely deep way. And I would just like to end by saying that because my work on the War Games on 9/11 was instrumental in enabling him to complete his book, I'm in the final stages of my book on 9/11 called Behind the Smoke Curtain on the Pentagon Attack. And his passing, what Mike has done and how it has affected me, has motivated me to finish my book as a gift to him, which I will do,
yeah.
And Gary Null has offered to publish it under his imprint. And Gary, if you're listening, I accept. So thank you. Thank you, Carolyn. Thank you so much. And thank you, Mike, for being who you were
and are. Thank you so much, Barbara, for calling in. And if you haven't read Crossing the Rubicon, over 600 pages, more than 1,000 footnotes, it is truly the Holy Grail of 9/11. So if you haven't read it, you need to. I believe we have Jay on the line. No, Jay. Then we have the next Barbara, I believe. There's another Barbara. Hello? We have Elaine on the line.
Hello.
Hi, Elaine.
Hi. I can barely hear you, Carolyn.
Well, I don't know what to do about that. I can shout. Does
can
that
you
help?
Hear me?
Can you hear me?
I can barely hear you, but if you can hear me, I'll just go ahead and say what I want to say.
Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you for your work. My husband and I have been following both of you when you were writing for Mike, and I'm assuming it was from the wilderness, and I remember you writing The Last Samurai.
Yes.
With his leaving in Ashland.
Yes.
And I remember being in a CD store and picking up Don Henley's Inside Job. And I remember listening to it, and after reading The Last Samurai, what you wrote so beautifully. And I cried that day.
Yes.
And I'm crying today, and I'm sorry. But,
you know... We need to not apologize for crying.
Yeah,
I know. We need to celebrate it.
Okay. Embrace it.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to say that my husband started following him probably in 2002, 2003, started reading From the Wilderness. And in 2005, Mike was at the McDonald Theater in Eugene, and Oregon. And... you know, I was really struggling with the whole, I don't know if you want to call it collapse, but reading about peak oil and reading just about our the future dilemma. And my husband said, I think we need to go see this man. And, of course, he knew who Mike was at that time. But I had always thought my husband was just a pessimist. And I have two daughters who I was trying to keep the balance between my husband and my daughters. And, you know, because Dad was a pessimist, and, you know, he wasn't seen as the realist. And anyways, I went to see him, and he captivated me. I have no other word to use. His confidence, his passion, the way he just paced the stage, his body language, I had nothing but belief. It sounds really strange, but it was like, you know, here was a man giving me all the facts.
Right.
He laid them out.
Right.
I mean, every scenario, it was, you know, it was all peak oil. It was government fraud. It was corporation power. I mean, he just laid it out. And I walked out of there, and it changed my life. I started reading everything I could get my hands on. I felt like I was lied to. I felt betrayed. I can't even put into words what he did for me. And I called into the Lifeboat Hour when Guy McPherson and him were doing a show, because both of them have done wonderful work just like you. And I thanked them then. And last Sunday, my husband tried to get on. He actually tried to bring the program up online and couldn't bring it up. And I just feel really bad that he was, you know, calling out for people to call in. And had I known that, I would have called in. I don't think it probably would have changed anything. But any time that man asked for something, he deserved it.
Yeah.
And I don't know what else to say but to thank him and for everyone that's doing the best job they can do to wake people up today. I don't think it's going to matter, but I can't see it hurting.
Well,
I think we need all the love and compassion we can get today.
Thanks, Elaine. I really appreciate your calling in. And we have Jay on the line next. Jay, where are you from?
New York City. I want to first say thank you for everything you did. And I have to say that Michael played a song on the radio, and it was by Lisa Mann, and I could never find that. So I asked him.
What show are you talking about?
On his regular show, he played, as he always plays songs.
I know, but which date? Do you know? Was it last week or?
No. This is why I've been on the show a few times. So I said, you know, Mike, I said, it gets me going, and I can't find it anywhere on YouTube or on iTunes. Can you play it? He says, absolutely. And he played it. And I used to go to the archives just to hear that song.
Uh-huh.
And just a way he kept his word, you know, with his audience.
Yes.
He said he would play it, and he did. And another thing that he did, he made a comment that was so profound. He says, don't worry, because worrying is praying for something bad to happen. And that just resonated in me. And I called him on that show, and I said, you know what? You just said something that just hit a nerve, and I wanted to thank you for that. And he was, you know, very receptive on that. And I'm glad I called, because if I didn't, I would have a big regret not thanking him for that wisdom.
Right.
And he is going to be missed. And, you know, I also speak to people who are shamans, and as he was speaking to people like that. And I feel like there was a connection that I knew him. I've been on his show, but I've never really met him. And he's just a unique individual, and I just wanted to share that don't worry story. You know, don't worry, because that's just praying for something bad to happen. So I wanted to share that with you and with all those listeners. I think they would appreciate that.
Thank you so much, Jay. Thanks for calling in. And we have next, we have Tom. Hello, Tom.
Hello. Thank you so much for doing this show. I got to say, hello, Carol?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. First thing I wanted to say was these other people apologizing for crying and grieving. And you got people like me sitting here where I just kind of went into the numb mode on autopilot. And I'm jealous of these people that are able to cry. I'm serious. On Friday night, I went to call the dog, our dog Chief, to feed him, and he was laying there. He wouldn't get up like he was sleeping, and here rigor mortis has already set in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know, it's been one of those weeks. But Michael, man, he was one of my heroes. I first became aware of him around 2002 when he wrote that article on It's Dangerous to Be a Microbiologist,
mm-hmm.
and about the software they were using, we believe, to track out microbiologists and other scientists to assassinate him, a black op problem, you know, programs.
Right.
Yeah, and then it goes around to Thomas Drake was working on a type of software, and Jocelyn Rudak defended him. And she just came out with a documentary of how whistleblowers are always pretty much persecuted and crucified.
Right.
Yeah, and it just came out. It's called Silenced. I saw the trailer. I posted it on my Facebook. And I think if there's any mass media-type mind control is what happened with Mike, I do with all the whistleblowers across the board. And that's, I think, you know, and I've studied this. I looked over the other pages you mentioned before and looked into this rather, you know, as best I could. And I'd have to, that would be my take on this. I think it's just whistleblowers across the board. Just like Jesus, he threw the money changers out of the temple. He was a whistleblower. And look what we did to him.
Thanks for calling in, Tom. We got to rush on because we got three more people.
Thanks
for calling. I believe we got Lewis next.
I want to say how much great work that Mike Rupert did, and he certainly.
We got about 2 minutes, Lewis.
You'll be. I'll say that I do find difference with his what he did with about Gary Webb's death. Who Gary really broke the ground on the issue of drugs and the CIA, and he deserved huge credit. And Mike, unfortunately, didn't tell us the whole truth about that, what he knew about how Gary died. And he did not shoot himself twice in the back of the head, but Gary, sort of pushed that line on what happened. And then he would not allow the family to have an autopsy, which... many of us wondered why. Nonetheless, I think he deserves a lot of credit because, like Barbara Honegger, like Cynthia McGinney, the official story is always, they have told us, and it's true, the official story of the government is always a lie. And Mike helped us to understand that. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for calling in. That's going to be it for right now. We need to stop. And I just want to say that I'm going to have a guest next week. The following week, I'm planning to just have a little fireside chat with all of you about my being the new host of the show, and I'll be taking calls on that show as well. Try to take calls on as many shows as possible because I really want to hear from all of you. And I really, really want to encourage you to sign up for, to register for the online Celebration of Life that's going to happen May 8th, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And that is going to be through Syncast. So you can find out about it on Facebook. You can find out about it on my website, carolynbaker.net. You can find out about it by going directly to the Syncast website, syncast.net. So that's our show for this evening, folks, and we're out of time. So please tune in next week and register for the online Celebration of Life for Mike. I'm Carolyn Baker, and I will see you next week.
All the street lights around me in the wall-to-wall prison of my city, flickering dirty neon over alleys mean and dirty streets, while my neighborhood is torn down around me, too many people on the zombie street.